there was light. Well, I'm going to be preaching out of the book of Matthew this morning. But before we get to that, I thought we should talk about Luke. Thank you. Thank you for those of you who got that. Our new pastor's name is Luke Miller. And some of you are like, isn't he supposed to be here? Where is he? You know, is he in jail? No. Just a quick little update, so we keep our expectations where they belong in regard to this whole process. As you may very well know, Luke lives in Saskatchewan, Canada, and because of this big storm, all the roads have closed for the winter, and so he's stuck. Not quite yet. But in all seriousness, the church applied for an expedited visa for Luke, what we call the R1, Religious One Visa. But in that expedited process, we have to wait for the expedited application to be accepted before we'll know if we can even expedite. All of this under the counsel of a very good lawyer. So we wanted to make sure early on that we got an immigration attorney who would be a part of that process. But at this point, that application has not yet been accepted. And so we just kind of want to keep you up on that we don't know when Luke will get here. This is in the hands of the U.S. government and them accepting his application for an expedited visa. If that gets accepted, then the process will probably be about a month from when that gets accepted. And so best case scenario right now, we're probably looking first of November. Worst case scenario, I'm not even going to give that. But we're just waiting. And in the meantime, we have some fun things in store getting us all the way up through Christmas and the end of the year. I get to meet with Luke every Wednesday on the phone for an hour, which is a lot of fun as he is completely engaged with the things that are already happening here. And so it's really excited. He and Sarah can't wait to get down here. So keep praying for them. Pray for the USCIS, United States Customs and Immigration Service, as they process those applications, and we'll see what God has for us, right? All right, here we go. We are in Matthew chapter 26 today. Bold and courageous, fearful and flawed. That was Peter. Bold and courageous, fearful and flawed. That's the description that Adam Hamilton gives of Peter. And as we head into this passage today, we're going to hit this passage where Peter denies Jesus three times. And we're going to talk about Jesus telling Peter that he would deny him three times and everything that led up to that. So we're in the middle of the Passion Week. So for context, we're getting ready to, we're on Thursday. On Friday, Jesus is going to go to the cross. On Sunday, he's going to be raised again. But we're on Thursday, what they also call Maundy Thursday. Previous to this, we've had the triumphal entry where Jesus has descended from the Mount of Olives towards Jerusalem to palm branches being waved and just an incredible fanfare as they see the entering king, so to speak, the person who's going to lead this new kingdom. And we head into this Passion Week. And we get to the upper room. We get to this point where they're getting ready to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus has his disciples go away and prepare this spot. And so they find this home that Jesus has already said that's where it's going to be. And so they go there and they find this upper room. And the disciples prepare for the Passover, for the Seder meal. John 13:8 tells us that right before this supper, as all the disciples would come into the upper room, that their feet were washed by Jesus. Something that they were pretty embarrassed about. And even Peter would look to Jesus and say, "No, Jesus, you will never wash my feet." And then he goes on, as we know Peter too very well, to go, "Well, okay, well, if you're going to wash my feet, then you're going to wash this." And that, you know, and you wash the whole thing. And then they go on into this time there, in that Passover meal where Jesus says, you're all going to fall away. You're all going to fall away. You're going to betray, and one of you will betray me. And Peter at this point, being one of the closer ones to Jesus, Peter, James, and John, who are just a bit closer to Jesus than the rest, is going, no, there's no way that's going to be me. And they wouldn't know, those in the room wouldn't know that it was going to be Judas that would be the one that night who would go ahead and betray Jesus. But that's the setup to where we're going. It was tense. They were starting to learn things about this Jesus that they really didn't even understand. And Jesus is talking about going away and meeting them again someday, and he's telling them that he's going to be meeting them in Galilee down the road. So there's something interesting going on there. And so much. So put ourselves in the minds of the disciples right now. You've just finished this really interesting Passover meal where Jesus has washed your feet and served you and said that he is the blood, that he is the broken bread there. His body will be broken. His blood. Drink my blood. And they're walking out of there probably a bit confused. A suffering savior? What's this suffering savior? And so they come out from the old city of Jerusalem and they head down across the Kidron Valley, and it's just right next to Jerusalem. I believe it's on the east side of Jerusalem, and they head out down through the Kidron Valley and back up towards the Mount of Olives. So it seems a little ironic to me that just earlier in the week, Jesus had descended from the Mount of Olives in that triumphal entry as the coming king. And he's heading back up the Mount of Olives, getting ready to be betrayed. Getting ready to be betrayed by the ones that just days earlier had hailed him as king. Just out of clarification, the Garden of Gethsemane sits at the kind of the base of the Mount of Olives. And if I would have been a really good pastor, I'd have had pictures of this for you from my trip 3 years ago. But that's all right. You get to Luke, he'll have really good pictures. But you have Jerusalem right here. You have the Kidron Valley right here. You have the Mount of Olives right here, okay? You got your picture, right? And so right down here at the base of the Mount of Olives, and there's a creek, a river that, we'll call it a creek, that runs through here, and here's the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? So they come out of the old city of Jerusalem, cross that river there and head over into the area of the Garden of Gethsemane, right there. And that's probably where Jesus had been camping out at night, probably where he had been sleeping. They have all the emotions, but they're starting to realize that he's not a Messiah that's coming to build an earthly kingdom. He is the Messiah who's ruling over a new kingdom, and one that is based upon leaders who do not lord their leadership over others, but leaders who serve others. And this is starting to break into them, and it's not making a lot of sense. Jesus is building a church that will be led by servant leaders, and Peter is getting ready to be schooled in a way that he never would have imagined. Oh, Peter. Peter that just moments ago in the upper room would say, no. I'm not, you can't wash my feet. No, we're not going to fall away. Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, picking this up at verse 31. Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away. And so they've crossed in the Kidron Valley, they're around the Garden of Gethsemane, heading up the Mount of Olives. This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. I'll never forget being a sophomore in college and made friends with a guy from Washington State. And this guy was just on fire for the Lord. And I remember him telling me, I want to die a martyr's death. When I die, I hope I'm the one that's sitting there going, I will not, never stop believing. You know, he's like, that's how I'm going to die. And I'm thinking like, I just kind of hope I die in my sleep. But that was my friend Eric, and he was bold for Jesus. He was bold for Jesus. And I imagine that that's exactly who Peter was. Bold for Jesus. He's been walking with Jesus. He's been seeing all of the miracles that have been taking place. He has been told not much longer before this, up at Caesarea Philippi, that Peter, you're a rock. You're a rock, Peter. You're solid. And then he points at the rocks there above Caesarea Philippi and says, on this rock I'm going to build my church, which also has to do with the gates of Hades and a whole lot of other stuff. Watch the other messages from several months ago. And so Peter, being the rock, hears Jesus say, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. Oh, no, Jesus. Remember that rock word? Petra, rock, me. Peter, it's not going to be me. Verse 32, Jesus says, well, after I've risen, I'll go ahead of you into Galilee. Well, what does that mean? Can you imagine what the disciples are starting to think? What are you saying, Jesus? We're all going to desert you. And if we take your words literally, you're going to die, then you're going to rise and you're going to go to Galilee. Sorry, this doesn't work. Now, if these good little Jewish boys had been really paying attention, they would have gone back into their Old Testament, into their prophecy, and went, oh, wait a second, this is getting ready to get good. But of course, not. No, they're living in the moment, and all they're seeing right here is, why are you saying, you're the Messiah, why are you saying you're going to die? And what's this thing about meeting us in Galilee? That's weird. So Peter's, and again, in his humanity, and what I think we all love about Peter, is he's like, this is my friend Eric. I'm going to stand up. Even when everybody else falls away, I will stand. Right? We sing songs that talk like this. In the song we just sang, Amazing Love. In all I do, I honor you. Has anyone ever struggled singing that song? In all I do, I honor you. Do I? I wasn't honoring Jesus at 2 o'clock this morning in my mind as my daughter was screaming and kicking me in the face. I had a bad attitude. I had a really bad attitude. But I digress. But Peter had to have been... No, I'll get to that in a second. If all fall away, I never will. Oh, Jesus says, oh, no, tonight, three times. Three times you're going to betray me. No, even if I have to die with you. I hope that every one of us would have that kind of commitment to Jesus. I hope that every one of us would be willing to say that. Because I believe that Peter, in his heart of hearts, in that moment, truly believed, Jesus, there is no possible way. I've seen the truth. I know who you are. There's no possible way I'm going to fall away. I'm with you. And it makes the rest of the story really fascinating to me. Because everyone else potentially will fall away. Let's skip ahead to the end of the chapter, verses 69 through 75. So by this point in the story, Peter has cut the ear of a centurion off, which is pretty cool, right? Now again, I hope we all would stand up for Jesus like that, right? But Jesus looks at Peter and says, come on, do you not trust the power I have? Like, this is, really? Really? You got to cut this guy's ear off? But Peter did it. It was awesome. And I hope we all have that kind of passion for Jesus. Maybe that's what it's like to be in the Lord's army. I don't know. But they've had the moment. Jesus has been betrayed by Judas. And so I'm sure at that moment, all the disciples went, "Oh, it was Judas. Good. Whew. It's not us. We're all good." Did they forget that part about all of you are going to fall away? But I think they probably, when they realized it was Judas, they all probably went, "Okay, we're good." Except for the fact that Jesus says, right before that, has said, "Why don't you all hang out over here while I go pray?" And they fall asleep, right? Oh, they're struggling this night. So Jesus gets arrested. They take him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. And Peter and I want to get this right so I'm not giving you any heresy here. But I believe it's Peter and John, might be James, it's one of those two, that follow along over to the house of Caiaphas. And so they are following along, and I'm sure continuing to go, "Okay, well, I promised Jesus I'm not going to fall away. I'm going to stay with him." And so, pretty cool. Again, in Jesus' hardest, getting ready to be one of his harder moments as he's taken away, they follow along. And then they get out here to this little courtyard in front of the house of Caiaphas, which is in there in Jerusalem. Verse 69, "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'Well, you also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. 'But he denied it before them all.' 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said." It's interesting to stop here, and I had a fun conversation with Hunter, our middle school director, about this week. He says, "Make sure you talk about the servant girl." Peter's talking with this person who in this culture doesn't have a lot of status. So when this lowly status person says to him, "Hey, weren't you with him?" Peter can kind of get away with the lie. He goes, no. He's almost saying, "You don't matter. Listen, you're not going to rat me out or anything." But he's like, you're not that important. So I'm just going to tell a little white lie." Isn't that where it starts? Just small. Just a little one. "Oh, no, nobody will see that I lingered on that commercial a little too long. Yeah, no, nobody will know that, you know, that thought that I was thinking really wasn't a very good thought. No, nobody will know that I kind of bent the truth when I said that. It's just a white lie, a little one." I think we all kind of have these little things. That's how sin starts. It starts with something real small, and doesn't seem to matter to us. But as you go on in this passage, it says, "Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl," again, a servant girl, "saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus.' And he denied it again with an oath, 'I don't know the man.'" Okay, so the sin settled in, just a little tiny white lie. Now, the next level of the sin is, "On my mom's grave, I don't know the man." You know, that's basically what's happening here. He has an oath. I promise you, I don't know the man. Well, now it gets really interesting. "After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away.'" Listen, we know what people from Galilee sound like and people that aren't from Jerusalem. "You're not one of us. You're from Galilee. Jesus is from over there. You were with him. We know." And it says, verse 74, that he began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." This is where we need to take our little Christian filters off. Peter, like, cussed them out. R-rated movie here, people. Like, he is saying words that we would never dream of saying. Some of us would, actually. But he is saying all kinds of profanities at this moment to try to get his point across that he's not with him. Again, The sin settles in. Oh, it's just a little minor one. Nobody will know. Well, the next one comes in. Well, no. There's no way I did that. Somebody questions us about, no, I didn't look at that. No, I didn't say that to that person. And then we plant our feet in the sand, right? And just go, and we draw our line. No. And suddenly we've moved from just a little temptation to the point where our sin is one that we are doing anything we can to protect our sin. Anything we can to deny our sin. To go, nah, it wasn't me. I didn't do that. That's what sin does. It doesn't start here. We all look at the big sin and go, that's bad. You know, that person that did that terrible thing, oh, what an awful, but it started right over here. And that's the danger for every single one of us, is it starts right here. And in the last week in this church, I have talked to people who are struggling deeply with things. I've talked to people in this church who are struggling with alcohol. That old friend. Oh, man. You know what? I'm home alone. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to know. I'm just going to have that drink. I'm just going to have a few more drinks. I'm going to have a few more drinks. Whew, it's back. People in this church. I've talked to people in this church in the last week where there are people, there are believers that are struggling with sexual sin. That are going, I'm so tempted. I'm doing these things, but I don't want to do these things, but I'm doing these things, but I don't want to, but I keep doing more. And we're struggling through these things. Gosh. We're hurting. Because we let that sin creep in and get to us and get to a point where we've lost control. In that moment, Peter completely loses control as he's talking to them and says, I never knew him. Bleep, 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 never knew him. I don't know the bleep, 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 bleep. That's what's happening here. And sometimes we can go, well, yeah, but my sin, but I still love Jesus. And he's forgiving me. And he's forgiving me a lot. And boy, then we start to, but you know, when I'm living over here in this sin, his grace is really good. I talked to a young man 1 year, years ago, a young 17-year-old senior in high school. He says, Cliff, I know I'm partying right now. I know I'm, you know, drinking a lot and all that, but I want to be a youth pastor someday. I go, this is going to be really good when I hear the conclusion. He says, I want to be a youth pastor someday, and I think that I need to have a good testimony, and, you know, so I can relate with the kids and the things they're struggling with. So I'm going to keep doing this for a while so I can really kind of understand what, you know. What? Should I go on sinning so that grace may increase? Never. Oh, should I go on sinning so that grace may increase? But some of us even get so flawed in our thinking, and we cheapen grace. We before we even start our sin, we just start looking and go, yeah, but God's going to forgive me. Right after we gesture that person that just did something really bad in the car right next to us, God's going to forgive me. You know, beep, beep, God's going to forgive me. But we put all kinds of things in there that we just cheapen God's grace, don't we? We let ourselves settle in and say, God's going to forgive me. It's all going to be all right. And I even struggle. I got to be real transparent with you this morning. I struggle singing the song set that we sang this morning. Because it is so focused on the incredible things that God did for us. The glorious day, us coming out of the grave. My feet are on the rock. In all I do, I honor you. These are the songs that we sang in worship today. And yet I know that we walk out of here and a lot of us are not going to honor him in all we do. We're not going to be rising out of the grave every day like we are people that are alive in Jesus Christ. We're going to go on doing the same old stuff we've been doing. We're going to continue to be hypocrites. We're going to continue to cheat on our spouse. We're going to continue to look at bad stuff on the internet. We're going to continue to use those same old words that we've been using because that's just kind of who I am. We're going to keep doing all this because God's a God of grace and he forgives me. And that is one of the greatest insults to the work of Jesus Christ that I can ever think of. The next slide here says this. Immediately the rooster crowed, and then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. I think that the rooster is the Holy Spirit. I would not be surprised that that rooster was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because they usually crow in the morning, not at night. But the rooster crows, Peter remembers the words, and then he goes out and weeps bitterly. He goes out and weeps bitterly. I thought of so many different ways that we should end this morning. But I don't want to put a nice period on this morning's message in this passage. I don't want to wrap a pretty bow on this and say, hey, it's almost Christmas season. Everything's nice and clean here. I want to leave us in a mess. I wrote this. I said, I'm hesitant to draw any conclusions this week or to try to wrap this up with a pretty bow. I think that maybe we need to stop and sit underneath the conviction of the Lord for our sin. I think there are many times we race to grace and we don't sit in our sin and sit underneath it. Maybe we need to take time right now and examine ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal our sin, our denials of Christ, our hypocrisy. Again, there are people in our body that are struggling deeply, deeply with sin. I am in a spot right now. I joke about having a bad attitude at 2 or 3 in the morning when my daughter's kicking me in the face. But let me just confess this one to you. She would not sleep one night, and I finally take her upstairs. We have this guest room upstairs because I'm trying to allow April to get some sleep because sleep is at a premium at this point. And so we start just trading off. I'm going to sleep tonight. You get to sleep tomorrow night. That's what we start doing. So it's my night not to sleep. And I get upstairs and I'm holding her and I am just a disaster. And I just start cussing very softly out loud. But I'm at the end of myself. I'm completely at the end of myself. And in that moment where Pastor Cliff should be crying out to Jesus, oh, Jesus, please help me, I'm cursing. And I'm just struggling in this moment with anger and frustration and bitterness. And at no moment have I regretted the fact that we adopted this little girl. But I'm just a mess. And I feel like this phrase just says it all. It says, and he went outside and wept bitterly. And I just wanted to just weep. Because I started to see my sin in that moment and going, I'm a mess. What are you doing? Like, you're a mess. And I just pray that, do we weep over our sin? Are we convicted by our sin? Or do we just cheapen grace and go, God will forgive me? And then the next time we get back in there and we do it again, God will forgive me. And we do it again a little more, God will forgive me. And we do it again. Pretty soon, we've completely walked away from the Lord. So as we close this morning, I just want to stop. We're not going to put on any music to try to create a mood, but I just want to stop and sit and let's pray. And let's ask the Lord to convict us of our sin, to raise to mind the things that we need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit about. So let's just be silent in the room. Do what you need. If you need to bow, if you just need to weep, if you need to go outside and weep bitterly, but let the Lord bring that sin to mind. And I'll close it with a few words after that. Oh Lord, what do we do with our sin? What do we do with it, Lord? Oh Lord, we desperately need you. Oh Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Lord, help us to see our sin. Help us to know conviction comes from you. Lord, help us to see that sin is something, that our sin is what put you on the cross. Lord, help us to see that our sin sends us to hell, that our sin destroys good things. Help us to see that our sin keeps us from being in a right relationship with you. Lord, help us to see that our sin keeps us from having a right relationship with others. Help us to see, Lord, that our sin hurts others. Help us to see, Lord, that our sin hurts you. In the name of Jesus, would we know our sin, Lord, so that we could know your power. I would strongly encourage you. Here's the thing. I wanted to leave this morning heavy. I don't want to solve all the problems this morning, because next week is going to be really cool to see Peter get restored. But I want us to walk away and feel that heaviness. At the same time, you're not alone. I think that the thing that I love, that I read this not too long ago, was why, if Peter was so revered, were the Gospels so quick to show his faults, right? If the gospel writers really revered Peter, don't you think they would have kind of left out some of the negative stuff? But they didn't. Why? Probably because Peter himself pointed back and said, I want you to hear the story about the night I betrayed Jesus, 3 times that I denied him. I want you to hear the story about the time I talked back to the God of all the universe and told him he didn't know what he was talking about. I want you to hear the story about this, because God will redeem our sin. That's next week. Oh, I can't wait. So with that, if you need to just sit, pray. We have people up here to pray with you at the end here. Please do that. Rest in that. If you need to go outside and weep bitterly, do that. And then let's next week come back and talk about what God does to redeem that sin. Because only He can do that. I'll remind you that on the way out, we'll be taking an offering for our women's ministry, specifically for our mom's ministry, and would encourage you to give towards that. And thank you for being here. God's at work, whether we like it or not, isn't He? All right, see you next week.